The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Oh yeah, it's Wednesday. That means it's a doggy dog world. But look who's in the house with them, J.J. Redick. I would thought that, he was with me yesterday. I didn't know he could take me 2 days in a row. I mean, it's J.J. Redick we're talking about. We got to monitor his mood and stuff like that. Bring him along, ladies and gentlemen. Bring him along. He's in the house. He's ready to go. And doggy's next to him, which means somebody is guaranteed to get on his nerves. But guess what? I don't think it's going to be me or Doggy. Probably Molly that's going to get on his nerves. I'm just saying. First takes in the head. It's real.
SGA drives left, bends off, step back 18-footer, short. George with a good rebound. Oh,
yeah, I saw it, but I mean, they still being reevaluated right now.
Oh, George just goes down hard. George just got undercut, and he's in pain.
I didn't even know it looked like that until Dante just showed me, so I didn't even know.
Next man up. I mean, we got a group of guys that still want to win, like to play basketball, so we'll see what happens.
Good morning. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take. Thank you for being with us. And it is a very special Wednesday. We got JJ and Mad Dog here, and Stephen A's here as well. Stephen A, do you know what coach is joining us today on the show? I'm just wondering if
yeah,
you know.
I heard his coach, Mr. Hurley himself. I'm looking forward to seeing them. No doubt UConn's doing their thing thus far. They deserve credit where credit is due.
We can't wait. But we start in the pros. We ready, guys?
I am.
All right. On the West Coast, where Stephen A resides, the Clippers' Paul George exited the game early after an apparent right leg injury. PG's right leg landed awkwardly while going up for a rebound late in the fourth against the Thunder. He immediately crumpled to the floor, stayed there for several minutes before needing help to walk to the locker room. So looking big picture at the standings now, guys, the Western Conference gets tighter and tighter. Clippers currently sit at the 5 seed, however, just 2.5 games ahead of the Jazz for the 10 spot and 3 games ahead of the 11 seed Lakers. JJ, how far could the Clippers fall if Paul George is out for some time?
Well, let me just say one thing real quick. This is a very unfortunate injury at a very unfortunate time because I had the Clippers along with the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns, when healthy, as the Tier 1 Western Conference contenders. I thought this team, particularly with the way Kawhi has been playing, the amount of minutes that he's been playing, this looked like a team that could make a deep playoff run. Now, without knowing the extent of this injury, the reality is he's probably going to be out at least a few weeks. It looked like a hyperextension at best. If that happens, he's missing the rest of the regular season. And if you look at the standings right now, they've got 35 losses, and you've got two teams, the Lakers and the Pelicans, sitting at 11 and 12 with 37 losses. The reality is the Clippers could fall out of the play-in. That's how far they could fall. You look at their remaining schedule. They've still got another game against Oklahoma City, who they lost to last night. They've got two games against the Pelicans, who are sitting in that 12 spot. They've got two games at Memphis, who's trying to lock up the 2 seed. And they've got another game against the Lakers, who are trying to get into the play-in game. The only game they have left on their schedule against a team that's really not going to be playing for anything is the second-to-last game against Portland. So every single night, this team is going to be tested. And it's not just Paul George's injury. Norman Powell, who's their third leading scorer this season, he's been out since March 2nd with a shoulder injury. The team announced Sunday he'd be reevaluated. They'd update his injury on Sunday. He's been out as well. This team, for all the talk about depth, all of a sudden, they look pretty thin, and I'm scared that they are headed for a season which they don't participate at all in the postseason.
I am with him 100%. I think J.J.'s very hard. Listen, this Western Conference is crazy to begin with because everybody's got something wrong with them. Who knows on Memphis? Denver hasn't played well recently. The Lakers, we all know they've struggled here. You know, Oklahoma City's too young. I mean, Phoenix, Durant's not playing. So there's a lot of issues for all these teams. But without Paul George, They're going to make the playoffs in some capacity. They're playing, at least in a play-in. I think we all agree with that. But for them to sit there and win a play-in, then go sit there and go play a one or a two seed, win that series, win another series, that's asking too much. You can't be that much in the depths. So I'll let you be the expert and tell me if they can get through a round without George. But without him for an extended period of time, they are not going to win the Western Conference. That's all there is to it.
That's fair.
You know what? I appreciate, I mean, the eloquence, I mean, of J.J. Redick and Mad Dog Russo. It's very, very touching, I must say. Can we get to the point? The season is over for the Los Angeles Clippers if they don't have Paul George. It's that simple. They're not going anywhere. It's that simple. There's no way on earth that you're looking at this squad. And I've got, listen, Kawhi Leonard is a star, even though Lou Dort did put him on lockdown in those last few seconds last night. I mean, have we watched Oklahoma City? Has anybody watched them? We didn't expect them. We projected them to go into this. Yes, you did. Of course you did, JJ. I mean, it's what you do. The old man and the three. This is what we do. We understand. But the point is, at the end of the day, here's the bottom line. The season comes down to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Any expectations we had for this team was predicated on the successful play of those two individuals. And we all know what they can do when healthy. The issue with them has been purely about health and consistency and continuity, being on the court together for a slew of games. We know what they're capable of. For Paul George to be gone, for Kawhi Leonard's health to consistently be questionable, to the point that every time we see him play, even though we marvel at his greatness, because he is great, the bottom line is we end every game go, whoo, he survived, he's playing, that's great. Because we all expect Kawhi Leonard to be hurt. We don't rely on his health either. So when you look at the Los Angeles Clippers, although they're no scrubs, and although they've got guys that can play, the Norman Powells of the world, the Terrence Manns of the world, who can play. I even like Zubac, to be quite honest with you. Of course, Morris is on the squad as well. We look at this team, and their success is predicated on the health and availability of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George together. Without one of them, they're a respectable team that's going home early. It is that simple. It doesn't need to be more complicated than that.
I want to note one thing real quick. You know, as we look at these last stretch of games for the Clippers, the Clippers are 6-11 this season without Paul George. Even when Kawhi plays, they don't have a great record. I have a question actually for both of you guys, because we've talked about this crazy Western Conference for the last probably 2 months. You know, the teams 4 through 13 have sort of been bunched together within a couple games of each other. You guys have covered the NBA a lot longer than I've been a part of the NBA. Have you ever remembered a season in which a conference had so many question marks about health, availability, Andrew Wiggins with Golden State? I in my 20 years now being involved with the NBA or paying really close attention to the NBA, I don't remember it. And I'm wondering if you guys remember a season where, when we're talking about the playoffs and predictions, it's really hard to decipher what's what given all the question marks around injuries.
Well, I think the interesting thing is, Jay, sorry, Steve. First off, Steve makes it sound like he's telling you and I something that we know that they can't win a championship without the both of them.
Mm. Well,
I'm just saying.
You didn't say
the question. The question was to get out of the first round. Question wasn't, well, they can win it. Well, no, of course they can't win.
Oh, yeah, the season's over.
Played
is what
for 100 years. You think we don't know that? You make it sound like you're teaching us something.
With you, I don't know. With you, I don't know. With
you, I don't know. But the interesting thing about the NBA in the West, look at all the teams that, when healthy, you would think are great teams, yet they're 4 or 5 games over 500 right now because of guys being banged up. Phoenix is 5 games over. They got Durant, Booker, and Paul. You just mentioned the Clippers. The Warriors are the defending champ. They're a game over 500. The records with the talent and all the Hall of Famers in that conference with the teams is you would think there'd be about 5 teams who have 50 wins. It's the strangest thing in the world. But, again, back to you. Back to you sitting there in L.A. You think that J.J. Redick, leave me out of it. You think that J.J. Redick doesn't know that the Clippers can't win an NBA championship if George doesn't play? Change the question to make yourself look better.
Ooh.
That wasn't the idea.
First of all, it's first take, baby. I do what I do. That's number one. Number two, Men in Black. I like the look. I don't know whether it's Men in Black or Top Gun, then I'm going to go with you, J.J. Redick. I like the look, though. You're getting there. You're getting there. Now, here's the deal, doggy. The point that I'm trying to make is, to be quite honest with you, I got serious questions as to whether or not the Clippers will make it to the first round, to be quite honest with you, without Paul George. I got serious questions about that. Because in the end, when you look at their dependency on the two players, we understand they've got other parts around them. Their dependency, which is why it's great that JJ brought up the fact that they're 6-11 without Paul George, because the reality is that you're looking at them, Paul George with Kawhi Leonard. When one of them is missing, all right, and in this case it's Paul George, it just seems like all their hopes just plummet. You would like to believe that one of them could hold down the fort to get you beyond the play-in, to get you to the first round, even beyond the first round. But I don't look at this Clippers team as being that kind of team that could pull that off, to be direct.
And neither of you answered my question, but thank you. I appreciate that. Doggy kind of did. Stephen A., you didn't answer my question.
No. I agree with you. No, what I'm saying, I haven't seen that.
I'm just wondering. Legitimate question. You've covered the NBA for 52 years now. It's been a long time.
That's doggy. Me 30. But the point is that I've seen it before a bit haphazard as it pertains to, okay, who's going to pull this off? Who's going to win? But never because of so many injuries. Never because of the unavailability, the potential unavailability of folks. I've never seen this before, ever. And it makes me wonder, JJ, it makes me wonder in fairness, because I want you to address it, because obviously you just recently retired. It makes me question, there is a difference between getting ready and staying ready. And it does make me wonder a lot of times, not with Paul George, because that could happen to anybody, but it does make me wonder what guys are doing in the off season to keep themselves ready for the gruel and the grind of an NBA season. Because the injuries this year, I'm just saying, good Lord have mercy. What the hell is going on? In the age of technology, with all of this money available in terms of, you know, technology, the treatment available to you, et cetera, are you really, really getting ready? Or are you staying ready?
Yeah, Stephen, I have that question for you. Because summertime, bathing suit weather right around the corner. Are you getting ready or are you staying ready?
Oh, no. I'm guilty of getting ready. I mean, I stay ready when it comes
to... I'm just messing with you.
I stay ready when it comes to television.
Of course you do. Stay ready.
I get ready.
Shout to Sugar Free, one of the best quotes of all.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Time.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, and obviously he was referring to Lamar Jackson there. Now, here's a man that stays ready. Probably already went on the Peloton this morning. Danny Boy, how we feeling?
I feel great. Everyone looks great.
Your mic's a little
amazing.
Messed up.
Mad Dog.
Thank you.
What's up, legend?
Legend. Amazing. Stuff. Yes, I love you.
Did Dan, something's up with your audio a little bit, but you do have your mic.
My audio?
Okay. We'll work on it. We'll get it. Don't worry. I'll start with Doug. Doug, tell me this. Was Carolina better going after Lamar, better off, rather, than trading up to get the number one pick?
They made the right move. Now, I know they gave up the first pick, but I know the world and Stevie A, I know you're all trying to find a place where Lamar can go and pay him $50 million to boot. Come on. If you're giving up two first-round picks and you're paying them $200 million guaranteed, if you make the trade with the Bears, you get the first pick, you can take the quarterback who you want, and you don't got to pay him a ton of money. So you can build your team around the quarterback properly, because the first-year quarterback is going to make, what, $10 million? So you're not paying him $50 million. So as a result, you don't kill your salary cap. Plus, your fan base can build themselves and get associated with a young quarterback. Now, you got to get it right. They got to pick the right one. And I think I would take Young, but that's neither here nor there, either Stroud or him. You got to pick the right one. But Stephen A. and everybody making, so we got to get, how is it a joke? He hasn't found a team. He's this good. How in the world did the Ravens put this tag on him? Oh, come on, enough about Lamar Jackson. My goodness gracious. I mean, if he's there's no teams for him to go to right now. He has to realize there's huge compensation for two first-round picks, and you got to pay him $50 million. I mean, my gosh, the young quarterback, you don't pay him that much money. And Stephen A. now is going to go wax poetic about how he's the best quarterback. We know he's good. But if you're Carolina and you can get the kid Stroud and pay him $7 or $8 million for this first 4 years of his contract and only give up the first round pick this year, not next year, you're building yourself a good team. Carolina made the right call.
Well, first of all, a couple of things before we let Dan Orlovsky in here. First of all, how many times do I have to tell you? Stop trying to tell the audience what somebody else is going to say. Focus on your take. You think you're slick. You understand what I'm saying? It's a debate tactic that you use. It's not going to work. Oh, Stevie A, he's going to say this and he's going to say that. I mean, come on. No, we're not going for that, okay? I will speak for me, okay? You don't do that. You focus on your take. That's number one. Number two, let me just throw out a few names for you, okay? Johnny Manziel. Ryan Leaf, Jamarcus Russell, people like that. In a couple of years ago with Zach Wilson as the number two pick. How's that working out? It's a crapshoot. When you think about the Carolina Panthers, of course I'm going to say that if they could have gotten Lamar, they should have. If I'm going to give up two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and a player, what I'm getting in return, I don't want to be a guess. I want to know. And we know what Lamar Jackson brings to the table. Now, I didn't want him in Carolina anyway. I don't think that's the ideal situation for him. I'd much rather see Lamar Jackson in some place like Miami or some place like with the New York Jets. That would have been better. But the bottom line is that we're talking about whether or not the Carolina Panthers should have done what they did. I'm saying you give up two first-round picks, you give up two second-round picks, you know, plus a player. All right, for the number one overall pick that you got from Chicago, it better work. It's C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or, you know, Anthony Richardson. It better work. You don't have the luxury of missing on this. Not with what you gave up to get the number one overall pick. Lamar Jackson is 45-16 as a starter. Now, Dan Orlovsky, the doggy that I know, the doggy that I love, the doggy that I've been listening to since I was in college, that dude, Mad Dog Russo, he was a dude that was about resumes. He was a dude that was about credentials. He was a dude that wasn't about guessing, wasn't about projecting. He was about, what do you have here? I mean, forget that guy. I mean, you don't know what he's going to do. You know what this guy is going to do. You got to take a sure bet. You're going to give up two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and a player. I mean, that's what you got to do. I don't understand it. It's crazy. That's the doggy I know. But he gets on First Take. You understand? And suddenly, we got a whole different narrative bloviating out of his mouth. Go figure, Orlovsky. Go figure.
That's a tremendous impersonation of Mad Dog, by the way, Stephen A. Beautiful job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So, first of all, Carolina was never going to be capable of getting Lamar Jackson.
Right.
We've all talked about this conversation so one-sided. Part of the conversation is, even if it was remotely possible to get him, who plays quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens? Carolina, sitting at the ninth spot, that was never going to be a pick high enough for Baltimore to take one of the four kids or the big four in this draft. So that, right. that's part of the conversation here, too. Excuse me, Baltimore to take them. So who's replacing Lamar in this equation for the Baltimore Ravens? Second of all is this. You could point to San Francisco from 2 or 3 years ago, giving all they gave up to get Trey Lance. I absolutely think, that being said, I think Carolina made the smart choice here. One, I think there's two kids in this draft that got the chance and a pretty good chance to be really, really, really good players. C.J. Stroud has got his pro day today. It's going to be as good a pro day as we've ever seen thrown a football. I can guarantee that. And Bryce Young. I think there's a kid that's got a chance to be incredibly special if all the ducks fall in the right line, so to speak, and that's Anthony Richardson. I think Anthony Richardson's got top three player talent in the league at that position. The reality is this for Carolina. They got a really good roster, a roster that doesn't have a ton of flaws and or holes right now. They have a four-year window after they take their quarterback at number one to slowly build, rebuild that roster and allow that young player to develop. And that's a championship window because of some of the pieces that they have on their football team. If we go to last year's playoffs, in the AFC, seven teams made it. Five of the seven teams were on rookie quarterback deals. The only two teams that weren't were Kansas City and Buffalo. We believe that they've got special quarterbacks. By the way, both those teams were playoff teams before they traded up to go get those quarterbacks. In the NFC, three of the seven were on rookie quarterback deals, and two of the seven were on like mid-tier quarterback deal. Closer to a rookie deal than a massive quarterback deal that we see in some of the teams. So for Carolina, who sits there and goes, well, we got a good roster. Do we want to go trade for Lamar? Baltimore's not going to accept our trade because our pick isn't high enough and give them all that money. Or do we want to, with a roster that's okay, go up and get a guy that we think's got a chance to be really, really, really good. Really good. Maybe not MVP good in his second or third year like Lamar was, but really good. I think that's why Carolina looked at it and said, this is the right choice. While I love Lamar, this is the right choice.
Well, listen, there's no disagreement there, and I appreciate that breakdown. And by the way, when I brought up Johnny Manziel, I don't want anybody thinking that I think he was taken first overall. We know better than that.
Sure.
But the David Carrs of the world were taken number one. The Tim Couches of the world was taken number one over Donovan McNabb at number two. What I'm saying is it's no surefire bet that the number one overall pick at the quarterback position is going to work. And so even though you're absolutely right with your breakdown and we understand that wasn't going to happen, Orlovsky, the flip side to it, what I'm saying is if you are the Carolina Panthers, okay, it's one thing to say they shouldn't have pursued Lamar Jackson. That's just breaking down facts of what was going to happen. What I'm saying to Doggy is don't act like, oh, my goodness, getting Lamar Jackson would have been worse than getting the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I messed up with what Doggy thinks of Lamar. I don't get that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm attacking.
You guys,
I'm attacking this notion that it's better to get the number one overall pick than it would be to get Lamar Jackson. That's all I'm saying. That's something wrong with you.
Guys, you got to stop putting Lamar Jackson on his Pat Mahomes level. He has won one playoff game.
Nobody put him on that
level. He has not been able to finish seasons the last 2 years. I mean, you guys got Lamar Jackson on this incredible level. He's not as good as Aaron Rodgers, okay? I know he's done great things. He's not as good as these kind of – he's not as good as the top three or four guys in the league.
Okay, so let me say this, Mad Dog. First of all, to the Carolina equation, I also think that the part of the – or an aspect of this conversation that isn't brought up enough about Carolina in relation to Lamar's. Carolina's going to have to pay Brian Burns. They're going to have to pay J.C. Horn. They're going to have to pay Jeremy, some of their young talent. So you need to leave a window in money for all those other players that help your roster as well. Here's my pushback, Mad Dog, when it comes to Lamar. I don't think anyone, at least right now, is putting Lamar on Patrick's level. But God bless, I've seen him come close. I've seen him go toe-to-toe with Patrick and put on shows.
Now,
maybe not last year.
In the playoffs, you've seen it?
In the playoffs, Mad Dog.
Yeah, he has played poorly in the playoffs. Played
Mad
terribly
Dog,
in Buffalo.
The only time he played poorly in the playoffs was his rookie year.
How about the Tennessee game? The Tennessee game at home, and he was the MVP in the league.
It's
and the
seven
team got
drops.
Destroyed.
He had
played
seven.
Oh, stop. Stop. He did not play
Mad
well
Dog,
in the game.
First of all, Tennessee went up 14-0 6 minutes into the game. That's when that year happened, one, Baltimore wasn't built to play that way. Two,
what
Tennessee
is this?
Was.
All right, I'll ask you this way. What's his quarterback rating in the four playoff games?
Probably QBR, probably somewhere around 70.
And that's not good. What is his quarterback rating in the regular season?
90 plus.
Okay, so you got a huge drop off from postseason, from regular season to postseason. Are we going to ignore that?
Mad Dog,
and he's 1-3. We're going to ignore that?
One of those seasons was a rookie year against the Chargers where he played bad in the first. That has their context of the story matters. Not every quarterback plays great the first time they're there. When they lost against Tennessee, Lamar played good football. He was let down by his team. Unequivocally, an accurate statement. I'll give you the fact that he did not play great on the road against Buffalo 2 years ago. I'll 100% give you that. And Lamar would as well. But to sit here and say, here's the reality. If you have Lamar Jackson and a good football team, can you win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
I'm not sure if that style can win. I'm not sure if you can give him, because he needs to, he wants to run. He hasn't shown he can
Did
win
you
yet,
watch
Dan.
The Super Bowl
Plus,
last year?
Dan, he hasn't gotten through the regular season.
Did you
he
watch
the through the regular season.
Did you?
You got to play 20 games.
You
got to
play watch the
17.
Super Bowl last year? Did you watch the Super Bowl last
yeah,
year?
Yeah, Hurts played great. Hurts played great.
Do they not
yes,
have
did,
a relatively
with his kids,
similar
with his kids
style?
And his hair all over the place. Yes, he
played
he was watching.
Great. I love them.
Do
played
they have a relatively similar style?
Relatively.
So if not for a controversial flag, we might not be able to make that accurate statement that you're not sure that style can win.
I'm basing it on what I have seen in the huge game with Lamar. He hasn't been great. Call it like we see it. He hasn't been great. Now, hold on now, Danny. Before you rub your eyes, you didn't have Montana in the top five all-time in the history of quarterbacks. Is that correct?
That is true.
That's accurate.
That is true, Olasky.
So I'm going to sit there now. You're going to sit there and break down Lamar for me, and you didn't have Montana in the top five all-time?
Ooh. That is true,
I don't know how to rebuttal
Olasky.
That one. I'm not happy Dio. About that coming from you, Mad Dog.
All right.
That's a fair one.
You can, take a pause and marinate
Dio,
on that.
True.
That he's
that's
questioning
true,
your credibility
that's true,
evaluating
Dio.
Quarterbacks, because I need to transition here.
I stated why I didn't have Montana in the top five.
It's still blasphemous.
That has nothing to do with
it's
Lamar.
It's still blasphemous.
What's blasphemous is that tie. It still has nothing to do with Lamar.
Will you take notes? Will you take notes and stop being jealous? Just admit you're jealous, my brother. Come on now. Come on now. You know, you can't touch this. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? This is not MC Hammer talking. It's Stephen A.
He talks about Lamar like we should pay him $10 million a year.
Well, you did. And listen, you had me until he brought up Montana. That was an utterly ridiculous, blasphemous statement on your part to not have Joe Montana in your top five. That was ridiculous. I can't defend you on that one. I just can't.
I don't need you to. I don't need you to.
You do. You need all the help you can get with that one.
Gentlemen, we got to leave it there. I got a tough transition to make. Dan will be back. Very sad news in the association. Knicks legend Willis Reed has passed away at the age of 80. The Knicks announced his death. The Hall of Famer played 10 seasons in the NBA from 64 to 67, all with the Knicks. He was named to the All-NBA team five times and made seven All-Star teams and was named MVP in the 69-70 season. But his place in history was forever etched on May 8, 1970. New York was set to face Wilt Chamberlain in the Los Angeles Lakers in Game 7 of the NBA Finals that night at Madison Square Garden in hopes of winning the franchise's first ever championship. Reed, who had missed six games with a severe thigh injury, wasn't expected to play. But Reed stunned the sellout crowd at the world's most famous arena by walking out of the tunnel to the iconic call of "Here Comes Willis" by radio broadcaster, another legend, Marv Albert. He missed game six, rather. Excuse me. I'll start with you here, Stephen A. How will you remember Willis Reed?
Well, as a native New York and a lifetime Knicks fan, he's synonymous with champions. He's given us our most glorious moments in the world of basketball. The fact of the matter is, when the New York Knicks won the championship in 1970, it was the first championship that they had won. They won another one in 73. He wasn't expected to play. He didn't play game six. You didn't know whether or not he was going to play game seven. He hit those first two shots. First of all, the roar of the crowd when he came out. I was 2.5 years old. My father talked about it. My family talked about it, you know, all my life, that moment and how iconic it was. And then for him to hit his first two shots and then leave it up to Frazier to drop 37-19 to win a game seven over a Jerry West, over over a Wilt Chamberlain, over an Elgin Baylor. You just can't say enough. And considering what you've seen, not this year, because I'm very proud of what I'm seeing from the Knicks this year, but from an historical perspective, what you've seen from the New York Knicks for the better part of the last half century, since he produced what he produced, it just stands above the crowd. I mean, it's a special one of the most, if not the most special moment in the history of the Knicks franchise. And God bless him, his family, God bless his soul. And it's sad to see him gone. Even though he was 80 years of age, you would like to believe that he had far more time than that. And unfortunately and sadly, that is not the case.
Excellent job by Stevie. I really can't add too much to it. I love Willis. I'm a little older than Stevie, so I do remember that Game 7 in May of 1970 when he hit those first two jumpers. Remember, he got hurt in Game 5 of that series, yep. And they brought Nate Bowman in and Dave Stallworth in, and they stopped Wilt from going crazy. He didn't play Game 6. Wilt had 45 points and 28 rebounds. Tied the series. And then in Game 7, as Stevie just said, he comes in off the Willis ramp, the Willis Reed ramp, takes a shot before the game so he can play, knocks down the two jumpers that set the tone for the whole night. I mean, the Knicks were up by 29 points in the first half of that game.
Yeah.
Frazier had one of the great games, as Stevie just said, 30-something points, 19 assists, 12 rebounds. Had an incredible game. Probably should have been the MVP of that series. They did give it to Willis because of the emotional aspect of that. But Stevie knows better than I do because he's such a great NBA guy. If you think about New York sports in the last 50, let's not go back, although I'd love to. Let's not go back to DiMaggio or Ruth in 1927. If you're thinking about New York sports in the last, let's say what, Stevie, since you've been around, 1967?
That's right. You're
thinking Messier with the Stanley Cup. You're thinking, you know, probably, you know, the Mets with Buckner with the 86 thing.
Absolutely.
You're thinking, you know, maybe the Yankees winning that first championship for Torrey in 96 after
Reggie
they hadn't
Jackson,
won for a long time.
Reggie Jackson with the three home runs.
That's right. Reggie in Game 6 of 1977. Those are the kind of moments we're talking about. Willis tops them all. It's their first championship.
Exactly.
It's New York City. It's the home of basketball. And you remember, he was the MVP of the league, the MVP of the All-Star game, and the MVP of the finals in the same year. Yep. And they won 18 in a row, which at the time set the NBA record. You know the Knicks a lot better than I do. That is one of the classic teams in the history. The 69-70 Knicks?
No question.
The Buscher,
Bradley, Walt Frazier, Willis Reed, no doubt about it. That moment's number one. Messier's number two because it erased the 40-year curse for the Rangers, obviously. Messier's number two. But then you got to take into account Buckner and the ball rolling through his legs for the Mets to ultimately win that World Series game and ultimately the championship. And, of course, the Yankees always have something in there. There's no doubt about that.
We'll leave it there. The NBA world lost a true legend. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family and loved ones. May he rest in peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. How special was that final?
Can I throw cold water on this, please? Stevie, can I throw cold water on this?
May oh, I? Lord.
I mean, I don't really want
can
you
I?
To, but you can.
Go ahead. Right,
listen.
Go ahead. I'll follow Ohtani, up. Go ahead.
Ohtani's great. Did a great job.
Phenomenal.
Hits.
Phenomenal.
Comes on. So let's leave him. Can I leave him alone and put him on the side for a second? We're going to make this out to be an epic at bat. Really? What is Gibson and Eckersley then in the World Series in Game 1 when Gibson hobbled around the bases and hit the home run against Eckersley, Dodgers A's in 88, one of the great home runs in the history of baseball?
World Series. Absolutely. Okay,
but hold it now. Did you see the headlines today? Epic at bat. Incredible moment. What? Yeah, but why? Because they're teammates? I mean, and Trout does nothing but strike out. Trout struck out twice in the game. He strikes out. You know, everybody talks to me about Trout and DiMaggio. I mean, Trout strikes out 175 times a year. Plus the fact. Plus, are you looking at me? Look at me. Look at me. Don't look at the ground. Look at me. Plus the fact it was two out, nobody on. The game was awful. Mm. That game was a bad game. I was bored stiff. It was two outs, nobody on. And the game was, it wasn't like the bases were loaded. It wasn't like he was the winning run at the plate. It wasn't like he fouled any off pitches. The bat didn't last 15 pitches. He didn't keep the bat alive by staying up there, by fouling off tough pitches. He swung and missed the whole. He didn't foul a ball off once. They're making this at bat out to be the greatest at bat in the history of Major League Baseball.
No.
It's
no, they're
March
not doing that.
21st. No. Can we take it easy?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
First of all, high heat on an MLB network. It's supposed to be must-see television because Mad Dog Russo is hosting the show. He's talking about baseball. Let me help you out here so you can ingratiate yourself with that audience you're in pursuit of. Theater matters. Stop being so literal with your historical perspectives that you forget the importance of theater. Ohtani is big time. I saw Buster Olney this morning talking about he might get a number that starts with six, as in $600 million. And guess what? Ain't nobody's going to argue about it because this brother can pitch and hit. He is something special. The man ain't closed since the days before he ever arrived in Major League Baseball. But he shows up to close last night. And when he's closing, who's waiting for him? His teammate, who happens to be, when healthy, one of the greatest players in the history of the game, in Mike Trout. Nobody's going to deny that. Mike Trout is something special. He's something to behold. He's been plagued by injuries. We understand that. But the point is, it's the baseball classic. And unlike what we lament at times in basketball with load management, unlike what we unfortunately see because football is such a violent sport with injuries and stuff like that, baseball's got a different problem. You've got people living in their cocoon, holding on to their tradition, thinking about themselves and not doing what they can to ingratiate themselves with a younger generation because the sport is dying, not because people have lost interest, but because the audience gets older and older and older and you're not building a relationship with the younger audience. Well, how do you alleviate that, Dougie? You alleviate it by providing theater. You don't want to see Shohei Ohtani against just anybody. You want to see him against the likes of somebody like Mike Trout.
You want to see him go up against Mike Trout. It ain't no intentional walk. It ain't no strategy. It's me against you, baby. Let's get it on. Bam! Right down the middle, strike one. Bam! Right down the middle, strike two. And then ultimately, a few pitches later, an 87-mile-per-hour curveball slide. I mean, come on. That's what I'm talking about. And strikes him out. And then he sits up there, he screams, throws his hat, throws the glove. I mean, he's going crazy. He loved it. Japan undefeated. Third time they won the World Baseball Classic. Nobody has done it undefeated in the process. Beat Mexico to get there, who was no joke, by the way. And when you culminate the event that the Major League Baseball is all in on, that the Players Association is all in on, practically half owners for crying out, part owners for crying out loud. And to see the event come down to that, if you are a baseball lover anywhere, what you're saying is, ladies and gentlemen, moments like that is what baseball is supposed to be about. Younger generation, come on in. Look at the diversity. It's Mexico, it's Japan, it's China. The Czech Republic played in this tournament, for crying out loud. USA were the reigning defending champions. They end up going down. But guess what? How do you go down? Swinging. That's what competition is all about. That's what baseball is supposed to be all about. The arena was sold out, 36,000 plus, not an empty seat in the house. Everybody's transfixed, loving it, wanting it. When's the last time you've seen us acting that way about baseball? That's what we're talking about. Nobody's looking to get literal and trying to compare this to the World Series, okay? When you're sitting up there and seeing a walk-off homer. What about when Carter for the Blue Jays hits a walk-off homer to win the damn World Series? Everybody understands that moments, I mean, there's levels to the moments. But the theater that was provided last night, when you saw Ohtani come in there to close, is it any, what could possibly be more fitting? What could possibly be a better culminating moment? I'm just talking about for the classic. What could possibly have been a better moment than for him to go up against a teammate that's obviously familiar with them, probably faced him a bunch of times in batting practice and all of this other stuff. It's me against you, representing our nations, Japan, USA. It's my peeps against your peeps. What you got? And you went right at him. That is what we're talking about here. That's why you got to appreciate it. That's why you got to love it. Not sitting there and deferring to something that happened for, you know, years before your target audience was even born. No, we're not doing that. You're saying this is what we want. This is what baseball is supposed to be. Modern day baseball players, pay attention. It's moments like this that gets that fan clamoring to come watch you. That's what it's about. That's what you need to go on high heat and remind the audience of.
He did a good job.
Are you going to take, do you want me to get you that clip for high heat?
That was very good.
You're going to toss to it?
You did a hell of a job there.
It was good.
You got Joe Carter in there. You got you got the sold out crowd. You got the diversity angle. Yeah, what right after you got the pitch that he struck him out on? What a
great job,
what
Stevie.
A performance,
Stevie!
Why
great job,
superb.
Such
why
a great
you
job.
Surprise?
JJ
I'm,
wants
I'm
to say
Stephen
something
a,
on this subject too. By the way,
Stephen
before
a,
we go to
you didn't know
before we go to the NBA.
Yeah,
I just wanted to first of all, I just wanted to get a quick fact check in.
Oh God,
doggy. No, hold on, Stephen A. Doggy said Mike Trout strikes out 175 times a year. He's actually only struck out once more than 175. That was 184 strikeouts, and that was 9 seasons ago. He's never approached 175 strikeouts in a year. And look, Doggy, I give credit where credit is due. When you get at Stephen A., I give you credit. But Stephen A. absolutely destroyed you on that topic. Wow.
Wow.
I had a front row seat to it. That was great.
Wow.
Stephen A.,
as Robert De Niro would say and analyze this, you, JJ, you're very good, you. You're very good, you. Way to go.
Yeah. JJ, don't let the details get in the way of a good story. Coming up here, we've got the Grizzlies anticipating Ja Morant returning on Wednesday against the Rockets, but he's not just doing work on the court. The inner work continues as well. Here's Ja with more.
It's been good. Obviously, you know, a lot of learning. Pretty much, you know, that. Honestly, you know, took that time to, you know, better myself, you know, get in a, you know, better space mentally. It's an ongoing process, you know, continued process for me. Obviously, you know, I've been there, you know, for 2 weeks, but, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, I'm completely better. So, you know, that's an ongoing process for me. That, you know, I've still been continuing, you know, since I've been out.
All right, we're wishing him the best on and off the court. JJ, let me ask you this. Will the Grizzlies be a factor in the West?
I think they will be a factor in the West. When you look at the standings in the Western Conference right now, they have a 2-game lead on the third-place Sacramento Kings. They have a 6-game lead on the fourth-place Phoenix Suns. Look, in all likelihood, given the inconsistencies of the teams 5 through 13 in the Western Conference, regardless of who ends up in that 7 spot, and the 6 spot, it's very likely we have a Sacramento Kings, Memphis Grizzlies Western Conference Finals, which means one of those teams ends up being in the Western Conference Finals and having a chance to play for a chance at the NBA championship. Think about that. The Grizzlies and the Kings, one of those teams will likely be in the Western Conference Finals. Absolutely can be a factor. My concern with this team, despite the fact that they've won 6 of 7 games without Ja, they're shorthanded, Brandon Clark tore his Achilles tendon. My concern with this team has to do with Steven Adams' availability. He completes their roster, his offensive rebounding, his defense, his screening for Desmond Bane and Ja. If he's healthy and back for the playoffs, and it's looking like it's going to be right around the time the regular season ends that he'll be reevaluated, then they have a real chance to make a deep, deep run in the Western Conference.
All right, we'll leave it there.